Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Praise the Lord once again. Thanking the Lord for life, health, and strength. Giving honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanking Him for another day. Thanking Him for life in general. Thanking Him for the trials and the tests that we go through, that we know that we still need the Lord to see us through. And we know that He can see us through and take us through. So grateful and thankful that the opportunity is here to be able to go over some things and just try to be an encouragement to discuss things in life that we go through every day, situations in life that we go through, some good, some bad. The family knows best. Sometimes we wonder if the family truly knows best sometimes because they don't act as if they do. We go through situations in our family and sometimes we have to do and say things sometimes to make a point. Tonight we're going to start out by doing our prayer request first. And as we do our prayer request, then we will go from that point on and talk about the importance and the understanding and the purpose of family. We want to continue to remember all of our sick and needy tonight. We want to continue to remember our households, our relationships, our children, our grandkids and great-grandkids. We want to remember our leaders within everything that they go through. I do want to make a special request for my bishop, Bishop R.C. Bryant, and his companion. I do want to make another special request for Bishop Armstrong and their loss of the family, someone in the family. We truly do want to continue to lift them up in prayer and continue to pray for each and every one. We truly do want to lift up all of our leaders and their families going through situations in life. The police force, the schools, all of the shootings going on around and about, we want to continue to pray for the areas and the people that are going through these things because there's something going on within them that they don't care anymore. They have no respect. They have no self-control of self. Family is what it boils down to. It has to start within the family. We want to continue to pray for our schools, our bus drivers, continue to pray for the incarcerated, our world leaders that are so divided, so much chaos and problems between them, the Ukrainians and the Russians, the things that are going on there. Every day we see something that shouldn't be going on, that don't make any sense. You know, people don't have enough self-respect to respect someone else. But we're going to continue to remember them in prayer anyway. That's what we do. Because God is the only one that can change these things in life. We pray about and do the things that we can. The things we can't, we put in His hands. Because He is the source of all things. He is the source of our help and need. Without Him, we can do nothing. We go through too many situations trying to handle it ourselves, but we have to put it in His hands. Like I said, first things first. He's first, the beginning and the end. He's our all in all. Precious Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before You right now. asking you to forgive us for the negative thoughts and things that have come before us throughout this day, that we continue to get it right in our lives, Lord, that we may be able to come to be a help to someone else. So many things come about in our lives, dear God, and people can just get you to the point that, Lord, you can't do anything but call on the Lord for help. Lord, we thank you because we honor you, Lord, and without your help, we can't make it. We lift up your holy name before all and ask you to bless all of the prayer requests that's already been requested, dear God, the people that are going through something, the bereaved family that are still suffering and going through situations from lost loved ones, still blessing the people going through the COVID situation still yet. Even though we don't hear as much about it, it's still going on, Lord. And only you, Lord, has made it to get a little better. We trust you, dear God. We depend on you. We call on you right now for healing. We call on you, Lord, for blessings in our lives. We call on you to help us with true and real living for you, Lord, that we continue to be content, Lord, in Jesus, knowing that he is the onlyest one. Everything that we do in life for Christ, Lord, let it be real, Lord, in our lives. Let us be first partakers of what we say and what we do, that we may live a life suitable for you, Lord. Our life is to live again. We look to you, dear God, and we trust you, Lord, because we are looking for eternal life. We're living for eternal life. We're searching the way that you would have us to search, and that says that we have to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all this righteousness. And Lord, that's what I look to do, to seek you, Lord, and trust in you. We ask that you bless the program, dear God, tonight. Each and every one that may be listening in, each and every one that may call in, touch them somewhere in their lives, Lord, that they're going through. If it's pain in their body, if it's sickness in their bodies, dear God, we ask, Lord, that you touch, you heal, you bless, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for everything that we're going through right now. It's a struggle sometimes, but Lord, you already got everything in hand, and we depend on you for everything we do. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you've already done. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing, and Lord, we honor you for what you're going to do in advance. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. I'd like to say once again, good evening and praise the Lord to everyone, because God is good and all the time God is good. And we are starting out with helping children understand the importance of family and family relationships. I'm going to read this one verse here. It comes from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It says honor, and that's what we do. That's the main thing to start our children out in a relationship within family and teaching them about our God. Right here, I have an article that it says, understanding the purpose of family. Okay, I'm going to read this out of scripture, too. It is Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28 says, English Standard Version. So, created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, He created them. 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. This is the purpose of beginning a family that we start out with. Letting our children know that God, in the beginning, God, everything had to do with Him in the beginning. And our children, we need to let them understand that this is where everything starts from the time they're young and old enough to understand. Because at 2 years old, they're able to use a phone, a cell phone. They're able to play games on the cell phone. They're able to do things that you wouldn't believe. So instead of giving them that cell phone and that game, we need to understand that we need to explain to them, because if they're understanding how to play a game, they can begin to understand the purpose of family. Two essential elements of family, marriage and parenthood, reveal God's character like nothing else in creation. The love between a husband and wife provides a glimpse of Christ's passionate devotion to us as his bride. In the same way, the ups and downs of parenthood offers a compelling picture of God's tenderness and patience between us as his children. So we have to realize there's a thing that goes on. God has created us to know that everything started with him. And as we look at this, when it says the love between the husband and the wife provides a glimpse of Christ's passion, devotion to us as his bride. It lets us know our children, once they're old enough to understand these things, Christ, God, should be talked about every day of their life to let them know something that God is doing, something that God has done, and let them see within our lives that we can say we thank God for this. And children's role is to follow what they see or hear. If they hear you say it, then they begin to say it. If they see you live in a certain kind of way, they begin to follow your lead. We don't understand that this is a main thing in life that our children can learn from. Everything a mother does and a daughter sees, a daughter does. Everything a father does that the son sees, he began to do at a young age. And as they follow that lead, and you're living that godly life that Christ is leading us to live, the children begin to understand that there's something about this way that my dad or my mom is living. Then we start to explain to them the purpose and understanding of the family. You know, God has put us in a position for this. And it says, and family does more than reflect God's character. It provides provides a safe place where children can experience God's love through their parents and learn how to love other people. So, if we show ourselves as a loving parent, as a loving couple in life, our children begin to see and feel that love. They begin to understand we have to love to get by. they're going to go through some things in life that don't seem so right, but we have to continue to live a life of Christ, that they may see something, that they may start to understand this is what family is about. This is how family is supposed to stick together, you know. Even Christ himself was born within the context of a family. God in the flesh submitted and, it says, submitted to an earthly mother and dad to model what it means to honor parents and to benefit from their loving directions. Then it says it was within the nurture care of his earthly family that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So we have to understand, even Jesus as God came into the human form, that he could live this life to show us, to be an example to us to learn from. And he had a mother and father that had to play that role, to where as he grew up, even though he was God in the flesh, he still had a parent to teach him in a way that he lived this life. It says, and Jesus, I'm reading Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and Jesus, this is the King James Version, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So that's what it just said. And we know that if he did, we can. And we have to continue for our children to let them see something in us worth living for. And Jesus is worth living for. He is all in all. He is the reason why we live. He's the reason that we have our well-being. We have life eternal if we wish through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His blood shed, hanging on the cross, his burial, resurrection. So the thing is, he died and done it all for us to have these opportunities as children of God. It's up to us to accept and want. Sure, we're going to go through, everything's not going to be all lotty-dotty and good and tasty the way that we want it to be. We're going to go through some trials, and it's not going to be easy. We're going to be tested, and it's not going to be easy. We're going to go through some situations to where we argue, and it's not going to be easy. We're going to get into some chaos with one another. It's not going to be easy as family, but we don't want to do these things in front of our children. We need to learn that we need to pull ourselves to the side, away from the children. Get them worked out, talk about it. So whereas when we're facing our children, they will see that God has worked it out in our lives the way that we tell them. They have to see something to be able to trust the Lord for in our lives, that we live for, that we walk for. They have to be able to know that this is what the Lord has did for me. This is what the Lord has did for your mother or your father. This is what the Lord is doing for our household, for our children. And they have to see things to where they can pick up and learn from them and understand that everything that we are giving them is about what the Lord is doing and has done for us, continuing to see us through problems and situations and bad times as well as good times. We go through. We get down sometimes. but we have to trust in the Lord. We can't let that get us down to a point that we give up on God. We have to continue always to keep our focus on the Lord. We cannot give up on God because He is the only source that we have to be able to make it by. If we give up on Him, we've lost it all. We have nothing going for us. We have nothing that we can depend on. He's our dependence. He's our source. He's our help. He's our shelter. Everything that we have belongs to Him. There's nothing that we have that doesn't belong to the Lord. Everything we have, our life, whatever it may be, everything we have belongs to Him because He has given us everything that we have or to be able to help us to provide within the family to get what we need. He's even made it possible for that need that we need to happen. Because if it hadn't have been for Him, we wouldn't have it. So when we talk to our children to let them know the importance of family, the relationship between families as they grow up, we have to understand these kids are smart nowadays. There's not a whole lot you can hide from them. They're paying attention to everything. You can be talking and they can be playing, but all the time their little ears is open. They hear things. They look. They see things. They can be playing and watching you the whole time, and you're not paying attention and knowing it. So this is why family is so important to our kids. We know that in our lives, the struggles won't be easy. We know in our lives that everything that we look at in life is not going to be the way we like it. But we do know one thing, who we trust in. We know who is protecting us, who is making everything possible in our lives for us to hold to. We just don't know from one day to the next how things may be. We don't know how life may turn, but we know whose hands it is in. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has all in His hands. No matter what we feel, no matter what we say, if it wasn't for Him, we wouldn't be able to have anything that we have. He is the way, He is the truth to life. I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Chapter 8, King James Version says, "My son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." So it gives us something that we have to continue to remember in the Lord, that He's letting us know everything that we need is in this word. Everything. There's not nothing in this word that we can look at and say we don't have what we need, because God have given us everything that we need in pure sight. So to God be the glory. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 31 says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." This is where the family of Jesus began. God in the flesh, born to a virgin. That we, that don't understand, have an opportunity because of this Jesus that was born of a virgin. He grew up with a mother that was truly his mother, a father that wasn't his father, but spiritually, in the spiritual realm. And he had to have someone as he grew up to follow, to learn from too, as a child of God. Godly people that started a family. And he learned them, and that's the way we have to understand and bring our children along and let them see and understand nothing good that we've done, but through and by the will and the grace of God, everything that has been done is because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has made ways for us that we cannot explain, but accept, believe, and have faith and hope in Jesus. Now, I'm going to open up the mics, and we're going to get some comments, some encouragement, some words of encouragement from everyone. Good evening, everyone. God bless you. Glad that you are calling in tonight. And I have opened up the mics for any comments or any encouragement. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
thank God. Thank God for just being able to speak.
Yes.
God's
and
word
it was
is true.
The purpose of the family. And it says helping children understand the importance of family and family relationships. And, you know, This is what it's all about when it comes to the Bible. We have to continue to share this with our kids every day and just continue to let them know. And if anybody can, you know, I mean, I run my mouth a whole lot. I always need help on something. And any encouragement, anything that may come about is good.
Well, family is important. And we need family. And we know the head, God is first, and then the husband, and then the wife, and then the children.
Uh-huh.
And we have to work together in that.
Yes.
Because God created family. And when we work together, that's how we let our children learn and know how it should be. And when we follow in God's book according to the word and do what the word of God says, they can learn how it should be. Praise God. Yes, that's the way it should be. But we have to teach our children, just like now, my mother died when I was just 9 years old. And it's a lot that I don't remember about her like my older sister. But I remember Daddy wasn't saved, but we had a prayer. And we had to get down on our knees. It was us, the girls. Now, Russell was home at that time because all the older ones were married. But we girls, we had to get down on our knees. And Mama didn't just pray for 5 minutes. She prayed a long time. And we had to stay down on our knees while she was praying. And that was instilled in us. And she prayed for us. And that taught us how to love one another. I was 9 years old, that instilled something in us. And it taught us, no doubt, how to respect our elders and how to love one another. Yeah. After she was dead and gone, we didn't go out and face older people and disrespect people. We knew how to honor the elders and how to honor our father. And we come up rough. But we knew how to treat one another and how to love one another. Because that's he prayed for us. And God honored those prayers, and it kept us safe through our teenage years' lives. Because she prayed for us, and God honored those prayers. And as I raised my family and my children, they didn't go out and be disrespectful to people either. Because they were raised that way. So, see, you have to teach your children the right way to go. You teach them how to conduct themselves in public.
Yeah.
A lot of times, young people is raising, they're raising their children, and they young children themselves, really, they don't know how to teach their children. So they're young themselves. And it's really a sad situation because they out there trying to raise their family, they don't even know how to raise them. And they're not teaching their children how to respect the elders, how to respect the teachers in school, and none of those things. It's really sad. But we were taught those things, and therefore we taught our children how to respect the elders and how to carry themselves in public and how to, just to carry themselves. But now children don't do that. They don't those things because they're not taught that. And it's really sad. They don't respect the teachers. They don't respect the elders and all those things. But if you home is where you're supposed to be taught those things. But it's not taught that in the homes anymore. And a lot of them, the parents, the way the society is, both parents have to work in order to make ends meet. And the children, babies is raised the children. And so they learned a lot of stuff from TV, and they're learning to dance and on the computers and on the games, and that's what they're learning now. So it's this generation now is just really, if God don't help them, they really just lost out there. We have to pray for our young people. We have to pray for them because if they're not around the grandparents, older grandparents, they don't know a lot of things. They just don't know a lot of things. right and wrong. And if they're not around us, they're not getting taught what they need to be taught.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
So it's just,
that's just like I heard this evening on the ministry program. It said that children 2 years old and under, you shouldn't put any kind of device, home games or anything like that, in their hands.
Yes, that's
2 years under, until they get
that's
3 years old. Then that's when they start to take on things, because once you do that at a young age, said children lose their attention span by 9 years old, and said it's been proven in certain things by the time they get 9, because you give them all of these devices and everything, computers, and they have that light of a phone, the light of a computer, and light of tablets and stuff. Yeah. Where they've been for so long, said by the time they get older, they start to lose their attention span because they're thinking on them things.
It is sad
because every child, sometimes for Christmas, birthday, or something, the first thing they want is something that they can look at, a tablet or a phone to play with, anything they can
and
get their hands on.
And it's the parents
and they're doing it for themselves.
They buy them phones at an early age, and they put them on these games, and they get them the kind of games that they shooting up people and violence and all that. And that's what they're learning. And it's not the children's fault. It's the parents' fault.
Sure, it's not.
Because that's what they see. And it's sad. It is so sad. And you can't just blame the children. It's the parents.
No, they're just doing what they see.
And a lot of the parents, they not taking the children to Sunday school because they're not going. I know I was in the grocery store yesterday, and I saw this older man, and I grew up with his mom in Sunday school. In school, I used to go and take my children to her house and she finally got saved, and we were good friends, and he got children now, and I was talking to him about the Lord, I was asking him about church and all that. And he said, well, she come by his life. She works on Sunday and all this. And I was telling him about his mom. He said, well, he need to go. But, you know, this and that, making excuses. And I said, Jesus is going to come and all this. But, see, you don't go and you don't send them. But you need to go and take your children to church.
Yes, you do.
Because they can't go themselves. I took mine to church, and I went with them and took them to Sunday school. But a lot of these children now, their parents is not going, and they're not taking them, and they're not sending them, and a lot of them don't know nothing about the Lord. And then when
they
get in trouble, whose fault is it? It's the parents' fault. So they're getting them in games and all this other stuff when they ain't thinking about taking them to church and Sunday school and learning, teaching them about God. But they want to get them in all these other activities.
Yes.
And that's what they're involved in. But they need to think
about. And you know
the
bad part about things like that is with the kids?
Yeah.
Most
what
of the time,
it?
When it comes to sports, it seems as if they set the game days on a Wednesday or a Sunday on the days that we have certain type of services. It seems like that's the reason why it takes away from a lot of the services, because they don't look at the situation, well, we go to church on Sunday or we go to Bible study or something on Wednesday or Tuesday.
They're involved in all
days. And always up on those days. To whereas you're looking at it, they say, "Well, I gotta take my child here. I gotta be here with my child there." And
they get caught up.
Church or coming around the church. And the thing is, like you said, my mom used to get down and pray a lot. A long time. We get on our knees and I'd get in the church. We feel like we was about to fall asleep sometimes because she prayed.
Yeah.
She did house cleaning. And the lady told me, said, I know that I can always come to you. Said, you sound like you know who you're praying to. And, you know, the thing was, she didn't stop it at home, even when she was on her job. And sometimes when she prayed, she got down on her knees, and she prayed there. And the people within the home know that she was a praying woman. They would ask her for prayer. So praying deals, we have to pray for our grands, our great-grands, our children, and everyone, because they're not doing the things of a parent. They're leaving it up to grandparents, great-grandparents, and everyone else in the praying deals. We're getting older. We can't continue to do the things that we used to do when we were younger, and they seem as if all they want to do is have their fun, kids off, and somebody else to run. And they're not wanting to do the responsible thing. So we have to continue to do what we can. When we teach why we can, what we can, and when we pray for them, God comes with his blood and grace. Take care of them, take care of the parents, because we don't know what they're facing when they're out of our control, out of our sight. They could be going through things in life. And nowadays, children that are going through things, they don't want to talk to you about it. They don't want to tell you nothing about it. And then when time comes that they're being picked on enough to their bully and something happens, then that's the way you find out. But see, you should already know what's going on, but we don't.
We don't know. And that's one thing. Now, when my grandchildren would stay with me, if I would get my granddaughters, they mom knew if they going to be with me on the weekend, you have them church clothes. So they went to Sunday school and had them on the weekend.
Yes.
She had big Sunday school clothes. Because I didn't stay home with them because they stayed with me.
Nope.
They went to school and all that. So she had their Sunday school clothes with me, went bring them when I had them on Sunday school. And my other grandkids, when I had them, they went to church. And you know, when they was with their parents, that was on them. But when they was with me, they went to church.
That's true.
And that's what, now we're responsible when they with us. But when they were their parents, that's their responsibility now.
Because
we're not responsible when they were their parents. But when they were responsible, you know, with about them and all. But, you know, the young people now, a lot of them don't go and they don't send their children. And a lot of, and the way it is now, a lot of churches, they don't have no, when I was growing up with my kids, we had Sunshine Band. At Christmas, we had programs because we had children in the church. But a lot of them, they don't have the kids no more, so they don't have things. Because the parents don't bring the kids. And it's really sad now. But, you know, we have to do what we have to do, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to do these programs anymore because you don't have the children to do them with. We used to have our little youth choir.
Yeah, they would sing and do things
and stuff like that. And then, you know, we'd have to have YPHA things for the youth to do and everything. And then they would do stuff for the kids to show their appreciation for the kids coming and doing what they did. They'd have them sometimes a little cookout, hot dogs, chips, or something like that. To let them know how much they appreciate them showing up. And the kids came together, and most of the time the kids enjoyed it. But you have to bring them together for them to enjoy something and know about something so that they don't mind coming. Because if they don't know, they're not going to say anything to the parents about anything or nothing like that. But once you get the child interested in something, that's just like having things at church, and they get interested in it, they don't mind coming. They don't mind going to play once they get interested in something.
Right.
But you have to get them into something, some kind of rhythm,
something
before they'll do
it. But you know, the word said there'd be a falling away. And it is a falling away. But we that know God, we have to keep holding up the standards and living the line and doing what is right. Because Jesus is coming back just like he said he would. And we have to hold up the standards and live the life. And as we out and we see people and God allow us to witness to them, that's what we are to do.
That's
and
right.
Live the life.
And we can't let down.
No, we can't let down.
Yeah,
live that life.
Down.
And if God leads us, we just have to do the will of God and keep living the life. Because we're going to have to give an account. We're going to have to give an account.
Yeah.
Because I tell you, he's coming back just like Eddie would.
Yes, he is. We go through, I go through work, talking and trying to encourage people at work, the right way.
Yeah.
And I have some there that I work with, and I said, Lord, I've asked the Lord to help them every time I go to work. Because they claim to be Christian, but their lives that they're living, things that they say don't prove that life. And they'll come up to me. What gets me so bad, and sometimes I say, well, Lord, help me, but I don't just bash them right off, but I let them know, sometimes about what you have to do, how you're supposed to live, and the things you do. They'll say, well, forgive me for my language. Well, you have to forgive me. Before you use the language. And then if you go ahead and you use the language where you didn't ask forgiveness beforehand and you didn't went ahead and use the language, you didn't sin. After, you ask for forgiveness and you go ahead and sin after the. So if you're going to sin, you're supposed to ask the Lord to forgive you of the sin that you do. And
that's
when somebody
right.
does that, it aggravates me so bad. And I say, well, Lord, help them, Lord, because I try to tell them the right and everything, and they'll act as if everything got right. They'll say, well, yeah, you write this and you write that. And then turn right back around when they get upset and ask me, well, forgive me of my language. This and that they got to say. The Lord, there we go. Sometimes I walk away. I just walk away because I get tired of hearing, excuse me for my language and everything. And then they think something before, ask the Lord to forgive them before they say it. And I said, if you're going to say it anyway, you might as well say it and just stop asking the Lord to do anything because you're not willing to live it. You're not willing to show your change in life. But you want to continue to do the things you're doing to justify something.
No,
that's not true. And so you can't, you cannot do that.
No, you can't.
You might as well just live it for life because that's what you're doing.
Yeah, you can't.
You're living in sin, and you're trying to claim the Christian way, but you can't do it. You can't be a traveler.
You can't. That's like a person. Don't say, Lord, forgive me, because I'm going to commit suicide. Well, you ask for forgiveness, then you suicide, you're still wrong. You're wrong.
Yeah, you are.
You're wrong.
You can't ask for no more forgiveness after you're dead and gone.
That's right. You know
that's
what
you're
going to
do. So you're completely backwards saying asking the Lord to forgive you for
that's
something.
That's right. That's right. You can't do that. No. So
you know, they make right wrong and wrong right. And see, it's a shame. It's a shame when they do that because even though they know the right, but they want to make the right right for them and do the wrong anyway.
But God has a way that's mighty sweet, and we have to live by what
he
does and that's his work. We have to go by
that's
what
right.
he says. Praise God.
Like the
that's
bishop
true.
Said Sunday, God has what it takes to
we
make
got
a believer. Out of
you. Yes, he does.
He's got what it
and
takes.
His word,
he made one out of me. And I know he's got what it takes. And only
he has what it takes
to make a believer out of everyone. So when a person wants something and they're sincere, he's got it for you. But if you're not sincere with it, you might as well get out of the way and let somebody that is sincere go go ahead and try their best to do what they need to do to live.
That's right. So, see, he knows your heart anyway.
Yes.
He knows if you mean it or not. He knows what you mean it.
That's just like his mom going into the store and they take the children in there and they doing one thing and they tell the children to go steal. Go get this and go get that.
Yeah, that's
while
wrong.
I'm up here, you know, doing this and doing that. And then when they get ready to go, the mom go up there and spend a few dollars or something while the kids is loading up stealing stuff to take it out for her. And then once they get in trouble,
wrong.
The first thing she say, well, you know better than that. You know you shouldn't have did that. Well, you set your child up for it.
Yeah,
you set your child up for the wrong that you said they did. And a lot of parents is doing this, too, and they're going to pay for it.
Oh. Yeah, they're going to pay for it. So that's wrong. That's wrong. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. But if we do it,
it's a praying time, and we just have to continue to pray. Pray for everyone and ask the Lord to help them see the light and get an understanding for the right, not the wrong, and give them a sincere heart that when they say something, be sincere about it instead of saying something. You know, you have to be sincere about what you do because... You know, you can't stand before the Lord and think that you're going to get by with all of this mess that you think you don't. It's not right.
No, because he knows your heart. No, you might fool me, but you can't fool God. You can't fool God.
And that's just like in this verse right there, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. That ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So
true holiness.
It lets us the word of God. What we have to do if we claim to be the child of God that we say we are, this is what we have to do to live a life of Christ. Put on the new man. The new man go back out there and do the whole thing you're doing in life. You have to make a change somewhere in life for the better.
You have
someone
to take
have
a
to
change.
See in you better than what
that's
you were
right.
doing.
That's right.
If they don't see
that's
it,
right.
the first thing they're going to say is, what kind of change did he make? What kind of change did she make? I can't see it.
That's right.
And all
that's
of this
right.
other stuff that they're seeing in you doing wrong. So people think that they're going to get by with things in life, and you're not.
But you can't get by.
That's why we do the best that we can and trust in the Lord and have that hope and faith in Jesus, knowing that he is the source of all of our being.
Jesus Christ.
Only he.
All our being.
Only he.
Only he.
We can't see ourselves through anything.
No,
we
can't.
Can't take ourselves.
We can't
he
do
can
it.
Take us off. He can do the impossible and make it possible. So we have to trust him at everything. People tell me, I had one of my workers tell me one time, she said, I believe the Bible, said, but one thing I couldn't believe in there was that when the fish swallowed that man, and I told her, I said, but did you realize what the Bible said about that? She said, what's that? I said, the Bible said that the fish was prepared. Lord prepared that fish. He had to be prepared to do what he did.
That's right.
Some people miss out on the main thing that the word is saying, and they go for something else that they feel that's not right. If God says it was prepared for a reason, then it's true.
That's right. God did it.
The Bible is
that's
not going to lie to a person.
It don't.
And you read it and you say, well, I don't believe. I believe all the rest of it, but I don't believe that. If you don't believe that, you might as well not believe none.
He prepared.
Because
God did.
If you're saying you believe the word of God and you pick out the things that you don't believe,
that's
you might want to hang it up. Because there's no picking mouth. It's either believe or not believe. And if you trust him and you believe, he says, if you love him, he says, to do his commandments. We have to be obedient to the commandments of God.
We have to continue to live through His word.
Get in situations sometimes in our lives. Troubles are going to come.
Downfalls are going to happen. But the thing is, we know who we believe in.
We know who we can call on. I can't call on man. I can't call on woman to take care of my troubles.
No.
They can pray for me. They can pray for me and ask God to answer prayer. And God can answer that prayer. It depends on a lot of people say, I pray for you, but they're not living a praying life. And if you feel that you can pray for anybody that's out there listening now, I'm not trying to be hard on nothing or lie about anything. If you're saying you're going to pray for somebody and you're not living Christ-like life, if you haven't repented and that's Christ into your life and you're living a Christ-like life, you might as well not say, I pray for you.
Because that's
the way we get in touch with the
Master.
That's
how we get in touch. That's the truth.
We get in touch with the Master by being sincere, living a Christian life, a godly life.
That's right.
We have to live a life suitable for Christ to know that we're serving Him and Him only.
That we're serving Him.
And if we are, we have a right to be able
you
to
have
ask
a right.
God.
That's the truth.
You're not true to God's will. You're not true to God's word. You're not
true to God's children's life.
Trying to put anybody down, but I want everybody to understand
this is the truth.
Because a lot of people say, I pray for you, but a lot of people don't understand. If you're not in that position, you cannot pray for people. Think that God's going to answer your prayer.
That's the truth.
Get yourself right. Get yourself in line. Repent. Ask the Lord into your life. Accept Him and live the life. That you may be able to understand that you can reach the Lord in the time of need, in the time of trouble. It don't mean that He's not going to do anything because He said He would rain on the just and the unjust.
And the unjust.
Things don't happen good in your life that you're going to look at. Well, I pray for it. God answer my prayer.
Thank the Lord.
He already had things in plan for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
But you still have to live that life to get your prayer.
That's the truth. Praise God.
And we want you to understand and know what it takes when you live
this life
to serve the Lord truly and sincerely from the heart. We don't do this for fun or play.
No.
This is serious business.
This is something that we can't take lightly.
No matter how hard we go through or how hard it may seem, we have to continue to hold on. We have to continue to trust, be faithful, and continue to be thankful in everything, good or bad.
God is a good God all the time.
He's good. So I'm grateful and thankful for all the callers. Thank you for each and every one of you. Our time is about up. God has been good. He's continuing to bless us.
Praise God.
I'm asking to bless each and every one of you. We're going to continue to be praying for each and every one. And y'all do the same for me and
Lord,
my family. And we love y'all.
Shalom. You have a blessed night. Praise God. Amen.
Shalom.
Shalom.